Hello, and welcome back to Our Bodies, Our Stories.
Today, we are going to be talking about the language that defines where people stand on the abortion argument.
The more commonly used and known terms are pro-life and pro-choice.
However, we would like to add more terms: anti-choice and anti-abortion, and pro-abortion and pro-reproductive rights.
A lot of the times, people have a misconception about what each term means, so we would like to clear that up for you and just define them before we begin.
So first, starting with the more common terms.
According to Planned Parenthood, people who oppose abortion often call themselves pro-life.
And pro-choice is the support of the legalization of abortion.
However, I think it's important that we add anti-choice and pro-abortion or pro-reproductive rights to this debate. Anti-choice is just another way to describe people who want abortion to be illegal.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a much more accurate way to describe it, because if you were truly pro-life, then you would value the life of the person giving birth.
Exactly. You know, it's funny because I remember when I was a kid and I didn't know the discourse surrounding abortion, I didn't understand that pro-life meant anti-choice. I would hear it and I would wonder, wait, why is pro-life the bad one? Like, don't we all care about people's lives? But that's not what it means at all.
Right. It's so misleading to say that you're pro-life and then go ahead and completely disregard the lives of grown people and grown birthing people.
Exactly. That's why I think it's so important to reframe this discourse, because no, you do not support life. You support taking away people's basic human rights.
Yeah, and there is genuinely no logic behind it. I have done so much research trying to understand how anyone could be anti-choice, and the biggest one is just really religion, which shouldn't apply to all people because everyone has the right to their own religion. So someone else's religion shouldn't dictate someone else's rights and choices about their own bodies.
Right? That's what I don't understand. Like, yes, if your personal view is against having an abortion, then you can make that personal choice about your pregnancy for yourself. But why impose that onto someone else? Not everyone is religious. Not everyone follows the same religion. And not everyone is religious and against abortion.
And as a religious person, I understand that even though there are religious debates on whether or not abortion is permitted under the Bible, I also understand that not everyone is a Christian. Not everyone has those same beliefs. Therefore, no Christian, no matter where you stand, should have the ability to tell another person, well, based on my religion, as those should be completely separate. There was a reason church and state were separated.
Yeah, I agree completely. And the thing about trying to come up with a reason for it, there was a line in the dissent that was written after the overturn of Roe that says, power, not reason, is the new currency of this court's decision-making. And with the recent things that are happening in this country, you can see that that really is true, because I could not come up with one logical reason as to why what's happening right now is happening.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so right, because as we try and move towards a more progressive society, it threatens the racialized heteropatriarchal system that the U.S. is built upon. So it threatens those people in power, and they will do anything to take away rights and to ensure that they maintain the power.
Exactly. And it's a cycle, because think about it. If in the U.S. they were to make abortion a felony, it becomes a much larger issue, because you know who can't vote?
Felons!
Going back to the anti-choice rhetoric, many anti-abortion and anti-choice people don't even believe that pregnant people should be able to choose abortion under any circumstances, even if their pregnancy is a result of rape, of incest, or if carrying the pregnancy to term would put the pregnant person's life in danger.
Exactly. That's not very pro-life of them.
And on the flip side, pro-abortion is the belief that people have the right to be able to access abortions. Pro-abortion is supporting the belief that birthing people should have the right to an abortion being defined as the intentional ending of a pregnancy, if they need or want one.
Pro-reproductive rights is also sort of along that, but it is a broader term. So being pro-reproductive rights means opposing laws that ban abortion, as well as laws that keep abortion out of reach, like laws that shut down health centers or that force patients to jump through hoops to get the care that they need.
Yeah, and apart from just abortion, pro-reproductive rights people also support access to birth control, sex education, care at Planned Parenthood health centers, and other forms of sexual and reproductive health care.
Yeah, and so often sex education is left out of the popular discourse of reproductive rights, but it is still so important. Even what you said about access, the concept of access to any sort of reproductive health is something that's, quote, privileged, unquote. You know, different intersecting identities often limit any access at all.
Yeah, that's why when I say I'm pro-choice, what I mean is, yes, I am pro-abortion, but also I am pro-living in a world where someone's decision to have a child isn't limited by whether they can earn enough to provide for their children or have access to the medication necessary during pregnancy, have access to doctors. Access shouldn't be privileged. Healthcare should be affordable.
Exactly. And some of you may be thinking that there's no need for these different terms and small nuances in language, but there's so much more complexity to the abortion debate than just pro-life and pro-choice, because many of the times, like, pro-life and pro-choice just simply don't cut it. It's a much more complicated issue, especially bringing back what Sina just said about whether or not these people have access to have a healthy pregnancy.
Right, because at the end of the day, banning abortions isn't just about banning abortions. It is banning equality.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people with penises will break condoms, have a one-night stand with a stranger, change their mind about parenthood, etc., and they're able to leave with their bodies still intact. Forcing birthing people to follow through when their partners don't have to have the same physical accountability is the definition of sexism.
Yeah, parenthood should be by choice, not by mandate.
Exactly. It should be everyone's own prerogative on whether or not they enter into parenthood, especially for the person that is going to have to be pregnant.
Exactly. And I know that previously we talked about how people are against abortions, even in the cases of rape and incest and a threat to life. But I think it's also important to address people who are generally anti-abortion, but say it is okay only in the event of these situations, especially in the event of rape and incest. This logic is stating that the birthing person has to be violated before they can have the right to their own body.
Exactly. Either way, it comes down to the fact that the government in this patriarchal society that we live in have control over people with uteruses and their bodies.
And numerous studies have shown that the lack of abortion access affects the economic, social, physical, mental, emotional, financial, almost every aspect of one's life. So this control then isn't just over our bodies, but over our very being and existence.
Exactly. And it's extremely sad. Pro-life should mean fighting for the well-being of the poor, the homeless, veterans, the sick, victims of violence, and all marginalized communities. Pro-life should not mean taking away reproductive rights.
Precisely.
Yeah. And so just to like move on to just laws discussing abortion and the laws and the logic behind them.
There's some definite flaws in the logic. Many people that are pro-life or anti-choice think that banning abortion will stop all abortion, but that is simply not true. Banning abortion does not ban abortion, it bans safe abortions.
Say it again.
No, banning abortion doesn't ban abortion, it bans safe abortions.
Exactly. And when people do ban abortions, it does not affect the rich people that most of the time voted for it or have political power and are able to send donations to politicians. It affects poor birthing people who are unable to then travel out of the state to get an abortion.
Exactly. If someone who has money wants to get an abortion, they can still travel to get one or hire a private doctor. They can go to another country to get one if they need to, but they will somehow access the procedure.
Yeah, exactly. And banning abortion disproportionately affects marginalized communities and not the communities that most of the time put these laws into effect.
It's never the people in office who are actually hurt by these laws. It is those who are a part of said marginalized communities that are being punished, as people who have money to travel will always have access to abortion.
I completely agree. You know, I'm from Texas, where abortion is banned at the 6-week mark or when fetal cardiac activity can be detected. And after the fall of Roe and this law went into place, it only took 6 hours after the abortion ban for a hospital to see its first self-induced abortion-related death. Someone was trying to induce their own abortion because it was banned, and then they ended up dying.
That's so sad. I think it just shows that this has nothing to do with making the world safer for birthing people and their infants. It always comes down to power and privilege in our socially stratified society.
Exactly. And it's just so devastating to know that this is the country that we are currently residing in. is where one that isn't supporting birthing people.
I think it's also important to acknowledge how the banning of abortion disproportionately affects AAPI communities. Millions of people nationwide have been damaged by the decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, which has restricted their access to abortion, ruined their economic prospects, and even put their health and lives in danger.
Women of color, who are less likely to have insurance and suffer financial obstacles to accessing abortions, will be severely harmed by the effects of this ruling. AAPI groups are specifically impacted by this.
I think it's also important to understand that the word AAPI itself encompasses dozens of distinct ethnic groups, each with its own language, histories, cultures, and socioeconomic conditions. It's crucial to comprehend these effects. The modern minority myth is just one example of a stereotype that needs to be overcome in order to prevent communities of color from becoming further divided.
Yeah, and for those of you who might not know, the model minority myth is a minority group whose members are perceived as having achieved success through hard work and determination, and who are perceived as being suitable models for other minorities to emulate. So to summarize, telling marginalized groups that if one person that is a minority can succeed, so can all of you despite systemic racism, aka pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Also, that stems from the idea that, people of color have been through more, so they're more resilient and they have the ability to take more on. But why should that be the case? Why should one, after undergoing so much already, to have all of these standards and expectations to meet?
Exactly. And given the diversity of AAPI groups, it's critical to understand that AAPI people's experiences receiving medical treatment are, of course, not uniform. So, you know, for instance, according to the Center for American Progress, Laos Americans have the greatest rates of young parent births in California, Korean Americans have the highest rates of uninsurance, and Vietnamese Americans are particularly susceptible to cervical cancer.
The same applies to abortion. The National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum notes that abortion is difficult to access for many AAPI communities for a variety of reasons, including language barriers, cultural stigma, and low rates of insurance coverage. Even though we lack the data to provide a comprehensive picture across these different AAPI communities,
abortion restrictions that have been or likely to be implemented in response to the Dobbs decision have made these barriers, which differ among AAPI communities, a lot worse.
For AAPI women, abortion continues to be a major problem. According to national data, white women have an abortion in 18% of pregnancies compared to 35% of pregnancies for AAPI women, the second highest rate of any racial or ethnic group. Additionally, all demographics except AAPI women had a decline in abortion rates between 1994 and 2000.
Yeah, and despite all of these figures, AAPI women are frequently disregarded when talking about abortion, which perpetuates the myth that they do not experience issues with their sexual or reproductive health.
Along with the difficulties already highlighted, there are additional issues related to sexual and reproductive health care that are particularly specific to AAPI women and fit into a larger reproductive rights framework. For instance, human trafficking.
According to a conservative estimate by the State Department, 18,000 people are trafficked into the United States every year, and many of them are women from Southeast Asia.
And female trafficking survivors have experienced forced abortions, carried unintended pregnancies to term, and developed HIV/AIDS and STDs. Women who are trafficked frequently experience challenges that are made worse by their seclusion and a lack of access to basic healthcare and reproductive health services.
Yeah, and so it's obvious that if we truly want a movement that includes AAPI women and all birthing people, that is inclusive, visionary, varied, and effective for all women and birthing people, our vocabulary and priorities around reproductive rights must change.
It is challenging to advance a more comprehensive framework of sexual and reproductive justice when abortion is the only focus. Rights to abortion do not have to or should not be separated from other reproductive rights or even from human rights.
Putting abortion in the context of the other concerns that affect women's general well-being, including issues of race, class, sexual orientation, gender, immigrant status, and all struggles for human dignity, actually make the movement stronger and wider.
If we can do this, the pro-choice movement will be able to ensure that all people are truly empowered to exercise meaningful reproductive choices.
So like we talk about in a lot of episodes, stigma can serve as an obstacle to abortion access. A lot of people tend to frame abortion as a taboo word in choice, but it's presented as a worst case scenario and not talked about by a lot of families.
So don't treat abortions like a taboo. Teach your children about it. Talk to your parents about getting more comfortable with talking about abortion and treat it like the normal medicinal procedure that it is.
I agree. Abortion should be part of any normal comprehensive sex education. If someone is actively having sex, they need to know about all of their options.
I could go on talking about this with you for hours, but I think it's time to wrap up this episode.
Yeah, and so this was a lot, but remember that if you are in need of support, you can access RJ Vela and go to our website, vela-no.org.
And don't be afraid to reach out to pro-choice, pro-abortion, and pro-reproductive justice rights groups in your area if you are feeling in need of in-person support.
And as always, remember to stay cautious of who you meet on the internet. You never know if they are truly what they say to be.
To help with that, we've created a list of abortion-related resources that you can find on at RJ Vela with this episode.
Yeah, we're going to be posting a thing and just swipe to the right and you'll see a list of resources that we have compiled specifically for this.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned for more.